Father, on this glorious Pentecost Sunday, how I pray that you would bring a fresh pouring, a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit upon us this morning. We need it. We would have our eyes open to see more and more of the majesty of the Father and the Son, that we would be filled with power and strength to do all that you have called us to do, and that we would know deep within our souls the love that has been poured out upon us because of the cross. So come, Holy Spirit, do the work you long to do among us, where all of us are this morning. Amen. Please be seated. This morning on this Pentecost Sunday, we are going to look at a part of the prayer that was prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that was read just a few minutes ago. It's this magnificent prayer that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, that the saints in Ephesus, but it's a prayer for you and me as well, and we're going to see that. But to really understand what he's talking about, what he's praying for us in the prayer, we have to understand what he wrote in the verses that precede it. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, what you find is one long sentence. It's a magnificent writing of Paul. I would say it's probably one of the most amazing statements of what is true of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find anywhere in any of his letters. And he begins with these words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then he goes on to unfold all the things that are ours in Christ. And I love how he begins, because he says, blessed be the God. Let our hearts bless him as we know and receive what he's done, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It's amazing, friends, the things that are ours in Christ if we really come and give ourselves to this incredible reality. These are life-changing truths. I'm not going to go into them all. We don't have enough time. But when you read them, and I hope you would when you leave here this morning, they are life-changing truths for you and me of what has been declared true. But here's the thing. I think in the church today, and as I look around, not just at St. Andrew's, but in the church in America today, I see so few people truly living out of what is theirs in Christ. I think we know a lot. We know what Jesus did for us on the cross. But friends, are we truly living into it? Are we appropriating these glorious truths that we are sons and daughters, that we have been given a spirit, that our sins have been forgiven, that we've been lavished, had lavished upon us all the riches of Christ? I mean, if we could just grab hold of that, we would be a different people. I think the church would look different. I think the church would be a holy fire of joy, of life, of laughter, even in the midst of the challenges that you and I face every day when we wake up. I think there would be a holy passion about us if we truly grasp, friends, what is true of us in Christ. Now, I think there are a lot of reasons why we don't. It's not an exhaustive list I'm about to give, but I'm going to list a number of reasons, because I think it may touch various ones of us here this morning. For some of us, we read what Paul wrote and we think, it sounds good, but it couldn't be true of me, right? Or maybe you've come to faith in Christ and this is life and go, okay, well, this is all there is. There couldn't be any more, right? Why long for more? This is just all there is, and let me just get to heaven, because that's going to be when it's really good. But others here, I think for some of us, over time in our journey, and it's part of the Christian walk, it ebbs and flows, and we go through times where that flame that once burned bright is now just a smoldering wick. It's not on fire anymore, but it's still lit. And sometimes that happens as doubt creeps in. But not just doubt, I think also sin. You see, sin distorts our understanding of the gospel. Sin distorts our understanding, and it blinds us to what is true of us, to what Jesus has declared is true of you and me as his sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. It distorts it, and we begin to forget this good news. And so what happens is we live out of the bad instead of allowing the good news to truly transform our lives.
But you and I also have to realize this, another one. There's a very real enemy that we encounter every day. And that's Satan. We wake up on a battlefield. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we wake up to a battle every day, to an enemy who's very cunning, who's very sly, who knows exactly how to get you and get me. I love it when I was thinking about this, that the picture came to mind, and many of you will know this, and in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, there's a description there of Satan's presence tempting Adam and Eve, and he's in the form of a serpent. And here's how he's described. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Do you see how cunning and crafty he is? You see, Satan, our enemy, comes at us and causes you and me to question what God has said. Did he really say that? It causes us to question who he is and what he's done for us. Could God really forgive you? I know what you did last night. Do you really think he would forgive you, right? You know that voice that he comes in. Could he really bless you? Would he? Could it really be good? Could this news really be true? I mean, if this gospel truth that you all talk about Sunday after Sunday that we come in and celebrate in our worship, could it really be true? And the enemy comes and distorts our thoughts and causes us to doubt. But here's another one. I come across people almost every day whose lives are just bound in condemnation. Maybe it's over things that you did 20 years ago, but you're still feeling the effects of the condemnation today. And we forget that we've been forgiven. We forget the glorious words of our Savior. But others don't feel it and don't experience this because of what I would call cheap grace, and I stole that from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Because cheap grace is this. It's saying, okay, God, I know you've forgiven me, but I'm going to live however I want, and I'm going to have fun doing it. Because I know I can always come back and you'll forgive me. And do you know what the danger is when we live with a mindset of cheap grace? It causes us to keep God at a distance. We don't really bring ourselves to him. We don't come to him because we don't want to see our need. And so God's kind of like over here. We give him the Heisman, right? But there's one last one that I think is very prevalent among followers of Jesus today, and that's that there are a lot of people who travel around with the life insurance policy. I'm going to heaven, I know that, right? But we're not really living into what is true of us today. We don't really grasp or know this incredible gift that we've been given today. So that kind of sets the stage of where we're going for the next few minutes this morning. We've been given this incredible gift, this new identity. But there's so many things that we go through, that we avail ourselves to, that cause us to doubt and not live in light of the reality. Simon Ponsonby wrote in his book titled More, and Simon Ponsonby, some of you may have heard us talk about him, he was the speaker at Winter Conference last January for the Anglican Mission. And the more I've read this book, More, I've recognized what a profound impact this has had on my life, especially in understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to read one thing that he wrote. He said, "Oh, how different our lives would be, how free from anxiety, depression, jealousy, and discontent, how full of joy and praise, how easy to pray, how quick to praise, if only we could grasp what God has done for us, given us, and made us in Christ. But we need the Spirit to take the Word of God and break through those years of lies and sin to help us truly know what He has laid up for us in our treasure chests." The Spirit is what we need to open our eyes. Friends, what I believe we need today in the church is a renewal in the Spirit. We are in desperate need of a renewal in the powerful working of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth of who God is, to the truth of who the Savior is, because we miss it daily. So here's where we're going for the next few minutes this morning. Two things we're going to look at from this incredible prayer that Paul prays. We're only going to look at a couple of the verses, verses 17 and 18. Two things we see. First, the Holy Spirit brings us a greater knowledge of God. And secondly, the Holy Spirit brings us a greater knowledge of what is ours in Christ. So a greater knowledge of God our Father, a greater knowledge of what is ours. And then I'm going to wrap all this up briefly with a real life story of how this gets real, okay, in our lives, the work of the Spirit. Let me start with this, a greater knowledge of God, verse 17, Ephesians 1. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. Now think about it. Right off the bat, what do we see about God? That He gives us the spirit of knowledge and wisdom and the revelation of Him. Friends, He is a giving God. I don't know how much you recognize that or not, but that's who our God is. He delights to give us good gifts. And so He delights to give us the Spirit so that we can have understanding to know who our Heavenly Father is. It is so glorious. And what the Spirit does is the Spirit opens our eyes to the truth from His Word about God. Here's what we read in John 16. Jesus speaking of the Spirit in this way, He said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." He's given us His Holy Spirit, friends, to guide us in understanding God. The operative word here in this prayer, the essence of Paul's prayer, is that we would know. That we would know God. That we would know the Savior. That we would know what is ours. And what's so beautiful about this word here, it's not an intellectual knowledge only. Now, a lot of us have grown up in church. A lot of us have spent years and years reading the Bible, and we know a lot, right? We can know a lot of facts about God. But that knowledge won't take us anywhere unless we are beginning to experience that knowledge in the depth of our soul, in the heart of our hearts. The only way knowing about God is going to transform us is when we bring our lives and submit them to Him and we experience the reality of what we understand. Here's an example. We speak a lot about God's love. It's one thing to know this love. It's a whole other thing to experience it in your heart. Have you? Have you experienced the love of the Father meeting you right where you are? See, we come to experience His love and His grace when we bring our brokenness to Him. When we open up His Word, when we read it, when we come to understand who He is, and we bring our brokenness to Him, we begin to see Him meeting us there. A lot of times in our sin, we want to run the other way, right? Because we're filled with shame and guilt, and the last thing we want to do is go to God. And that's the greatest place of danger. Because if we don't go to Him, we're never going to experience it. We're just going to know about it. But when we come to Him and we experience His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace, it begins to shape our hearts. And so we know Him as we open His Word, bring our fears, our hopes, our anxieties, our doubts, all of it to Him. We begin to experience His presence, that the Holy Spirit reveals this glorious truth to you and me. Every day, friends, we're faced with opportunities to know Him more. You and I, this side of heaven, can never plumb the depths of the knowledge of His greatness, of His majesty, of His holiness, of His forgiveness, of His mercy. But may we be a people who come to seek to, as we submit ourselves to Him, allowing the Spirit to open our eyes to this glorious truth. So that's what we see at first. He gives us a greater knowledge of who our God is. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us a greater knowledge of what is ours in Christ. It's one thing to know God, but it's another thing to know what we have received. And I think this is where a lot of people in the church today miss it. Because I think we know a lot about things, but we don't really know what is actually mine. Here's what Paul prays. This is verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He's called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. He prays that we would have our eyes, our hearts enlightened. When he says that, he's saying there's more to know, friends. There's more to know. There's more to experience. And so he wants our eyes of our hearts, the experiential part of our lives, to be enlightened, to know the hope to which he has called you and me. Well, what's he referring to? You know what this hope is? This hope is what we find in verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians chapter 1, where he talks about how we've been blessed in the heavenlies with all these spiritual blessings, that he's chosen us, that we are blameless before him, that we've been adopted, that we've been given the Spirit, forgiveness, lavish love. This is the hope to which we've been called, that we are now, our identity has changed. We are sons and daughters of our God. That's the hope. Do you experience that? Or are you still walking around as an orphan? You know the truth, but you still walk around feeling like an orphan. God longs, friends, that we would experience the embrace of our Father in living into what is truly ours in Christ. I saw someone just say amen. We ought to be a congregation that shouts amen, friends, because this is the best news of all, that we would know what we've been given. We are no longer orphans. We sang about it a minute ago. We've been set free. But you see, we still live that lie, don't we? It's hard to believe. And I know I'm going to share a story with you in a minute on how hard it is to believe. But friends, God longs that you and I would know more fully what is ours in Christ, that we've been redeemed, that we are his sons and daughters, and that we live every day under the smile of a Father who loves us more than we could imagine. He's crazy about you. Now, life would be different when you wake up in the morning knowing that there's someone who's just crazy about you. It can't help but put a smile on your face. But this, friends, is what Paul's praying, that we would know what is ours in Christ. But he also speaks of this inheritance, and I love the language that Paul uses here, because it could mean one of two things. He writes that we would know the hope to which he's called us, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, in one sense, Paul could be meaning that we are God's inheritance. And we are. And there's passages throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, that speaks that we, those whom Christ died for, are his inheritance. Now think about that. He sees us as his inheritance. That means he can't wait to spend eternity with us. Like, we are a treasure in his eyes. We are a delight, that we are actually his inheritance. Think about that. But Paul also means our inheritance, that we have an inheritance that awaits us, and it is this glorious inheritance. I have no idea what it's going to look like. But here's what Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. There's an amazing inheritance for you and me that awaits us in glory. Amen. Friends, here's the beauty. Here's the beauty of this. Now picture this. The hope to which we've been called, what we've been given. Our calling is to look back to the cross. What have we been given? What has been declared true of you and me? And we live out of that. We also live with our eyes set toward heaven, toward this glorious inheritance that is ours. And in between, we live in the power of the Spirit, who's reminding us of all of these glorious truths. We're reminded of what is already ours and what is ours to come. And that sets our lives on a very different trajectory right here, right now. It's one that's lived in the power of the Spirit, on the mission that God has called us to make a difference for his kingdom here and now. We're not slaves of fear anymore because we've already been broken free, right? We have an amazing inheritance so we can live freely. That's the beauty of this glorious prayer, that the Spirit opens our eyes to see. But here's the reality. You know I always go there. We can read this. We can hear about it. But is it a reality in your life today? Would you say these glorious truths are real for you today? Or are they still hard to grab hold of? I can tell you this, here comes the story, and it's about my life. These are truths that I hear, have read, have known for years, have studied in seminary, and they are rich, and they are deep, and they are glorious. But they're truths that I've only experienced from a distance until just recently. You see, I've had a longing for more and a longing for God. I want to know you more intimately. I want these truths to become a greater reality in my life. But I knew that there was something missing. And it wasn't that God's word was lacking. His word doesn't lack. It is full and complete and sufficient. What I found lacking was I wasn't fully living out of this, living into this glorious truth. And so in my longing for more, I began to ask the question, what's getting in the way, right? When you have something that you want and you're not getting it, then you think something's getting in the way. So I began to step back and I go, Lord, show me what's getting in the way of me longing and understanding more of this. So I thought, is it unconfessed sin? Is there sin that I've not been confessing? No, I mean, I seek to be honest with myself and the Lord and, you know, confess my sin. So I thought, okay, no, I don't think it's unconfessed sin. Was it feelings of unworthiness? Well, yeah, there's that. Like, some of this truth is so glorious that it's hard for me to even believe that it's true of me. I would gather maybe there's some in here this morning that feel that way, you know? It's true of others, but it couldn't be true of me, right? Well, that was part of it. Then I went on, as I continued to pray, there was one thing that came to mind, and it was, okay, do I have an unyielded life? Like, have I surrendered everything to the Lord? And when that question came to me, I thought, well, I have. You know, God, I've said, you've got all of me, right? Look what I'm doing now. I've left business. I'm in ministry. I said I'll do what you want me to do, say what you want me to say, you know, go where you want me to go. I feel like I've had a pretty unyielded, you know, life just surrendered to the Lord. So I said, what was it? I'll never forget the morning. Johnny Best, you're here. I was on my way to pick up Johnny Best, meeting Sandy Rhodes and his son. We went to go walk, climb Pinnacle that day. Early in the morning, I was having a conversation with the Lord in the car, and I was praying. And the Lord, as I was calling out, saying, God, what's holding me back? The Lord, all of a sudden, opened my eyes, and he said, you're missing something. You think you have a life that's unyielded, but you have a life you're holding back. There's something in your life that you've held back and you've not given me access to. And when he said that, y'all, I knew exactly where he was going, and I thought, no way. Because there was a place in my life that was so pushed back in those dark recesses I thought I would never get access to, nor did I want access to. That it was chained, deadbolted, the key had been thrown away, nobody was getting access into there. And God said this, it was as clear as day, if you want more of me, I need to have all of you. If you want more of me, I need to have all of you. And I began to weep because I knew what he was asking. And I just kind of held out my hands as I was driving, and I said, God, you're taking me to a place, I know, it happens every now and then, sometimes you get caught up in the spirit and like, beware of my driving, those of you who know me already are, but in this place, it was a place that no one had ever gone. I'd never trusted anyone to even know this about me. I didn't even trust the Lord, but he said, I'm going there, and when I said, okay, I just felt the incredible, rushing, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, I'm going to walk with you step by step. So what was behind that door that was dead, bolted, locked, shut, was that when I was in boarding school, in middle school, I was sexually abused by one of the professors at the school. And it went on for some time. It was a place of incredible shame and guilt in my life. And I vowed then and there, there is no way I was ever going to let anybody into this part of my life. And I shut it, and I went on to live my life. You would have never known. But I will tell you, friends, what the Lord has been doing in the last 10 months that he's revealed this to me. He has taken me on this journey to go back to deal with something that I had never dealt with in my life. And I began to see how that abuse has impacted my life and my family in all those different ways and all those coping mechanisms, all those things that were incredibly unhealthy, all those places the Lord began to take me. And I can tell you this about our God because I know it firsthand. He is so tender. He is so merciful. I had always thought, God, are you ever going to take me there? And I'd always said, no way, and you know what? Because I was terrified until God, through the Holy Spirit, opened my eyes to see a picture of my Heavenly Father like I'd never seen Him before. That's the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, to give us knowledge and revelation in who He is. And He opened my eyes in that day and has been over the past 10 months. It has been the most painful journey I have ever walked. But it's been the most freeing journey I could have ever imagined. I would never go back and miss that opportunity. So why do I share that story with you? It's a pretty vulnerable story about my life. I share that story with you this morning, especially on Pentecost Sunday, because it's a story of the powerful working of the Holy Spirit among us today. Friends, we need to know this. We need to know the power, that the Spirit's power is alive and at work among us today. The Spirit changes lives. Look, when I thought about my story, and this had happened about 40 years ago, and I had been locked in chains, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, I kind of get what the Israelites went through. I really do. 40 years is a long time to be bound up. But the powerful work of the Spirit comes to set us free. That's what we need to hear today. Wherever you are, whatever your story is, we all come broken. We all have things in our lives that we need the Lord to come and set us free, redeem, restore. Whatever it is, I want you to hear this morning, the Spirit is powerful. The Spirit breaks through, and it is His delight as we come. Because this is what Paul writes here, and we've got to end this soon. He speaks about this immeasurable greatness of the Spirit's power toward us who believe. The immeasurable greatness, I'd never experienced it before. But think about what power has to be to break through 40 years. That's power. That's dynamite. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's the gift of a loving God for you and me. I share this story because I want you to know how crucial it is that we as a church, especially St. Andrew's, truly be and live into the reality that we are a place of God's grace and healing for everybody who walks through these doors, including me. It is true of what God is doing here. Lives are being set free. And my longing is for us to experience the unleashing power of the Holy Spirit, that the chains that have held you captive, whatever they may be, whatever you're holding back, that you would see this is the place to come because God's grace is here. His Spirit is here longing for us to understand more fully the knowledge and understanding of our Father, to know more fully what is ours in Christ, that we would truly live into it because it is this glorious gift, and that you, along with me, would experience the restoration and the redeeming work of our Savior. Friends, I want you to hear this morning. He came to set you free. We are no longer slaves to sin. The lies are broken. The chains are broken. And He longs to fill us and set us ablaze with His Spirit, that we would live in the fullness of His joy and His mercy and His grace. And finally, I share this story this morning because I would gather in a room with this many people, there are a good handful of you who are still hiding. The Savior longs to come in and set you free. He longs for you to see that He is tender and merciful and He is good and He loves you, and it's going to be painful. I'll walk with you. There'll be a lot of others here who will walk with you. But friends, what I long for us as a body of His followers is that we would be a people set free. There's no more need to hide. There's no more need to go and cover. Because if we've already been covered by His blood, friends, everything's done. And that's all we need to know. So my prayer for us as we end and as we go forward as people of the resurrection, people filled by the Spirit, that He would show us more fully who our Father in heaven truly is. That He would show us more clearly what is true of us as sons and daughters, what has been won for you and me on the cross. And may we be a people who lift high the cross here, filled with the Spirit, living lives of joy on mission, that others, friends, would hear the message and be set free. Amen? Amen. Amen.